Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to the Lord's House. Did you ever hear the old saying, one picture is worth a thousand words? And sometimes that's still true today. Sometimes I see some pictures posted on possibly the internet, and they're beautiful pictures of scenery that's been shot in various parts of the planet. And they're just so gorgeous and so beautiful. And really, a thousand words could not accurately describe the picture that you're looking at. So yes, a picture can be worth a thousand words. Or maybe you've ever heard the saying, pictures don't lie. Now that's one I kind of laugh about anymore, because pictures can lie. Pictures can make you see something that's not really there. Now, 50, 60 years ago, not many people had the ability to alter pictures and to make them appear to be what they are not. It was done in Hollywood with what they called special effects, and they would make something appear to be something it was not when you saw it on film. But most people didn't have the ability to do that, and in some cases it could be very expensive to create these special effects. But you would see things in these special effects that were not real. They were not reality. But now today, just about anyone with a camera in their cell phone or on their computer can take a picture, and they can make it appear to be something entirely different than it is in reality. Over the Christmas holiday, my daughter downloaded a new app into her phone that she could take your picture and she could put funny faces onto your face, or she could take a picture of you and somebody else side by side and blend your appearances to where once it altered your appearance altogether and made you look totally different than what you really were. And if that had been sent out and somebody told, yes, that's so-and-so's picture, but it, in reality, it was their picture, but it was not their picture, because it did not show them as they actually were. And so many times today, we see things not as they actually are, or we hear things not as they actually are. And that reminds me, what about the words we speak? Used to be, if you said something, you could assume that the person was telling the truth. But now anyone, especially someone with a digital recorder, can take and record something. For example, if I make a speech, they can take and record my speech. But when I'm finished and I have said one thing, they can take that digital recording and they can alter it and make it come out to do something totally different and totally contrary to what I said and reality. And the interesting thing about this is that literally thousands of kids under the age of 18 can do this with the equipment that they have, that they can go purchase in any electronics store over the internet, and they can make these changes. I know we were working on a program I believe it was last year, and there was a problem with the audio that we had. And so my grandson, who does a lot of the technical things on this particular program, he brought it in and put it in his computer and went in and flipped a few little switches here and there and got rid of the problem that we had. And it came out sounding much better than what it had to start with. So that can be done. Things can be made to appear or sound unlike what they were originally. And what about fake news? We hear a lot about fake news here in the United States. You know, years ago you could walk into, and you still can today if you live in the U.S., walk into your local grocery store and there'll be a line of magazines right by the checkout register with various names and deceiving names, because they're apparently trying to tell you the truth according to their title. But what they have to say within their contents many times is the furthest thing from reality. And people's lives in some cases have been ruined by some of the stories that have been published in some of those magazines. Well, it's a great deception. It's really what it is. And in some cases, it can even be deadly deceptions. The internet is a great deceiver. And that's the thing that we hear the most about today, is what can be put on the internet. You know, the internet was intended originally to be used for good. And I remember years ago, first time I got on the internet, and it's been more years back than I care to remember right now. But there were a lot of things that you could do, but a lot of things you couldn't do as well. But immediately it seemed like as soon as the internet started to become available to the people, it also became available for things of evil. And I just want to put it simply that way, the things of evil, the things of Satan, to be put onto the internet that could be spread like wildfire across the homes. One of the greatest reasons that we have such a plague of pornography in homes today is through the internet. As I heard someone say the other day, speaking about that subject, used to, if you wanted it, you had to go to some store and buy it and sneak around and whatever to get it. But now you can sit down at your computer and you can type in a few things, and there it is right there in your home anytime 24/7. So the internet can be used for good, but it can also be used for deception. You know, for example, the internet can be used to spread the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as we're doing with this program, where we are sharing the gospel. And back many years ago when we were starting out on radio, we spread the gospel just to a particular area of Southern California, basically Los Angeles, Los Angeles County, and a little bit maybe of some of the surrounding counties. That was all that we had the ability to reach with that program. But as time went on, we went to other means and other stations and spread it a little bit further. Yet we were limited to what their range was. We were not reaching into some places where they did not have Christian radio stations. And then along comes the internet. And now billions of people have access to the internet, many of them in places where you cannot get in with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet they can get it on the internet. And so we're spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ on the internet as we share the gospel and let people know that Jesus loves them and that He cares about them, that God sent His Son, that His Son would die on the cross for the salvation of our souls. And we can spread that gospel with them. But yet the internet can spread such deception and such evil and such false news that it's sometimes almost disgusting to see what can happen. It can especially be used to spread fake and distorted views of the gospel. And I'll tell you, that's one thing that really gets me going sometimes, is when it begins to spread false things about the gospel and false views about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just over the Christmas holiday, I was reading some story that was put on there, and some people have come up with some ideas that are contrary to what the Word of God teaches, and they are spreading it as the truth of what actually happened. Yet they have no proof of their thing. They're just putting the story out there. People are reading it and saying, oh, well, The gospel writer didn't know what he was talking about. He didn't understand, but here's what the real story is. And when you sit down and you read the Bible, you're either going to believe the Bible, you're either going to accept it as the Word of God, or you're not. And if you're not accepting it, then you are accepting a lie. A false and fake news. Several years ago, I purchased a book. I don't remember the exact title of it, but it was something like about things that you don't know about the Bible, names similar to that. And I sat down and began to read the book, and in actuality, I had bought the book. I was going to pass it on to someone else as a gift, but I wanted to look through it, and I'm glad I did, because as I'm starting to read it, yeah, some of these things I read in there, maybe people who have not been to church wouldn't know that. People that have not studied God's Word might not know that. And I've continued to read on, and as I continued to read on, I began to see slowly it was drifting into false doctrine and to false teachings. It was spreading stories and flat-out lies about what the Bible had to say. It was teaching doctrine as truth that was contrary to the written Word of God. And we find that still today. We find those who are spreading false, deadly deceptions out there, teachings that are contrary to the Word of God, but they sure make it sound good. Years ago, I heard of someone who was questioned about something and a statement that had been made, and they were asked how they backed it up, and they said, well, I read it in a book. And anybody can publish a book anymore. It can be as full of lies and deceptions as they want to make it, but they can still put it out there. And we have to be wise and discern what is in the teachings of that book. So they said they read it in a book. And today, of course, rather than saying, well, I read it in a book, they probably say, well, I saw it on the internet. And this kind of a little joke goes around, well, I saw it on the internet, so it must be true. But how much is true? You see, deception, deadly deceptions even, run rampant in the world today. Jesus warned us in Matthew 24:11. He said, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. You talk about deception. There is deception in the church today, folks. There is deadly deception in the church because it's leading people down the wrong pathway. Yes, some of what is being taught in some churches is true, but many other things that are being taught have strayed from the truth and are leading you into a path that will cause you to lose out with God. Jesus not only said that there were many false prophets that would rise up and deceive many, he went on and Matthew 24:24 and said, for there shall arise false Christ. And over my lifetime, I've heard of a number of people who've claimed to be Christ. And all of them, to my knowledge, that I've heard claim that are dead now. They're buried somewhere. There are many false prophets, and we see false prophets out there every day. I hear more and more people standing up and claiming to be a prophet or a prophetess. And I'll tell you, if you want to turn me off real fast, you come up to me out of nowhere and tell me you're a prophet, and I don't see any evidence of anything like that, you better watch out, because I'm not going to accept you. I had a lady, in fact, I had a couple of ladies come to our church at one time, told me that they were prophetesses. One of them is not even living for God anymore. In fact, I'm not even sure if she's still alive. But she was far from being a prophetess. And there are those people out there today who are claiming to be what they are not. And it says, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. I want you to think about that, folks. They're so good that if it's possible, and if you've not got your faith rooted and grounded in the Word of God, in the Word of God, they could even deceive you. Some of them are pretty slick. Jesus warned us about this 2,000 years ago, that these people are coming around. Oh yes, we saw them periodically over the last 2,000 years, but they're in an abundance now. So we've been warned by Jesus himself. He also told us in Mark chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, he said, "And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed, lest any man deceive you." If it don't sound right, check it out. If what the preacher is preaching, if it don't sound right, check it out. Make sure it's what God's Word really says. It goes on in verse 6 and says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Oh, I think about it, and I've mentioned it before. Back when I was a kid, and we had just moved to the Los Angeles area, there was a man who claimed to be, Jesus. And his claim didn't last too long, because one of the people he had deceived, her husband came and shot and killed him. So his run as Jesus didn't last very long. But there are those out there today that are just as smooth and just as slick. And we've heard about them. People being deceiving. We've heard of people such as Jim Jones and David Koresh and others that have led people to destruction with their deadly deceptions. The Apostle Paul warned us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Let no man deceive you. Don't let people deceive you. He goes on and says there's going to be a falling away. I want you to look around you today, folks. There is a falling away in the church. We see churches that preach the Word of God and stick to the truth of the Word of God. And they're maybe a little strict in their belief, but they're teaching what God had to say and what Jesus taught. And they're dying financially for lack of people attending and the money that they need to operate. Dwindling away. While others bloom up and rise up in wealth and prosperity and attendance. But the truth has been so watered down that Jesus himself wouldn't go to that church. Now, I'm not saying that this is true of all big churches, because there's some big ones out there that are teaching the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is there, and there's a move of God in their midst. But there are many others who are teaching false doctrine. They are leading people down a path of deadly deception. I know there was a church in our area not too long ago, begin to grow and begin to get bigger and bigger, and then all of a sudden, they come out and start teaching and accepting things that the Bible taught against. The last I heard of them, their building was up for sale, but most of the time it doesn't work that way. They continue to prosper and grow. Because people want to be deceived, it seems like. Tell me what makes me feel good. You know, there's a song that we used to sing years ago, and back in the days when I had a singing group, we sang that song, it was, "I Feel Good." I feel good. Just to know I've been redeemed makes me feel good. Yes, you will feel good when you know you've been redeemed, when you know you've got the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life and you are experiencing something from God in your life. You will feel good. But now we have those who are making you feel good by telling you the things that you want to hear and telling you that sin is not sin and telling you it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that. Paul wrote to the Romans, I'm reading this from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Now I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause dissensions and obstacles contrary to the doctrine you have learned. Avoid them! If they're teaching something that the Bible doesn't teach, avoid them! For such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. They deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting with smooth talk and flattering words. We've all heard some of them at some point. We've all heard some. They're out there. Deadly deceptions are running rampant. The Apostle John warned us of a great deceiver that we usually don't think about. And a lot of times as Christians, especially, we think about great deceiver. Bingo, the first word that pops to mind is the devil, Satan, Lucifer. But there's another deceiver out there. And we don't always think about that deceiver. Because 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And how many people out there today are saying, I have no sin? There's literally thousands that will say, I have no sin. Oh, well, I came down and I prayed a prayer and I got baptized and I'm okay now. I can do anything I want to. And I've heard of people that are preaching that. It's okay to do whatever you want. Now you're saved, you're going to heaven, you can go out and live however you want. That's a deception, folks. You're being deceived. And we deceive ourselves sometimes saying, I can do now whatever I want. Bible says, if we do that, the truth is not in us. Well, how do we avoid deception? Here's what Jesus told us. No better place to go than to what Jesus told us. In John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus, speaking these words, said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Jesus is speaking here of the Holy Spirit that comes into our life. When we accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, we also have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Now, again, this is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and He will guide us. And sometimes that little voice that we hear speaking in our head saying, don't do that, don't do that, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And sometimes the Holy Spirit might be saying to us, do that, because He wants us to do something that's going to benefit the kingdom of God. But He's never going to tell us to do something that's contrary to the Word of God. And I've heard of people who said, well, the Holy Spirit told me to do this, and it was not of God. Well, the Holy Spirit didn't tell them to do it. Some other spirit did, but not the Holy Spirit. So how do we avoid deception? Well, if you're a Christian, you let the Holy Spirit guide you. Simple as that. Ask God to let the Holy Spirit speak to you in a way that you will pay attention. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks and we don't pay attention. Simple as that. Well, if you're not a Christian, though, the first thing to avoid these deadly deceptions is to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. And once you've accepted Him as Lord and Savior, then the Holy Spirit will guide you. Here's what John wrote in chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. Again, this is Jesus speaking. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Let's read that verse again. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." In other words, Jesus is saying, when you accept me as your Savior, the Spirit of truth will come into you, and he will dwell in you. I know a lot of times we call it conscience that's speaking to us. And sometimes, even as Christians, we get tempted to do things that you should not do. And I'm going to confess right now, a couple of weeks ago, I filled out some paperwork for my wife. And got down to the last question, and it said, "Did someone else help fill this out for you?" Well, I didn't want to say that I filled it out. So I stuck it in the envelope, sealed the envelope, and thought, this is being deceptive. This is not being honest. This is not being truthful. The Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart. I took it. I ripped it up. Didn't even mail it. Said if they want the information, they'll send her something else. We need to let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts, to our lives, to dwell in us, to guide us, direct us. Because this world as a whole is on a path of deadly deceptions. But only the Spirit of God can guide us into that truth that we need to lead us into the places that God wants us to be. One of the places that God wants us to be is to be with Him. And the only way you can do that is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Invite Him into your heart and life. Say, "Jesus, I'm a sinner. I confess my sin. Come into my heart. Let your Spirit dwell in me." And when you do that, He'll come in and the Spirit will dwell in you. Father, I thank you today for lives that are going to be changed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.